Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Let us follow what is important. Let us what? Because the book of Ecclesiastes is written with the eyes of a man who swayed from God and had now come back to God, and he's saying, no. I went after those things, and those things don't mean anything.
This week, Pastor Neil delves into Ecclesiastes chapters 5 and 6, where Solomon cautions us about being mindful of our words and vows to God, urging us to show him respect instead of making impulsive promises. He also warns against the vanity of wealth. In a world where we see power without satisfaction, wealth without joy, and hard work without fulfillment, which can bring dissatisfaction, your life can be full of stuff, and your heart remains empty. He emphasizes that enjoying one's work and possessions is a gift from God, and that God will not let the righteous be in need. Let's listen to today's lesson, Learning to be Content.
All right, contentment is a state of satisfaction or being happy in spite of your current status. If you are divorced and you think because of the divorce you are not going to be content or be happy, you are lying to yourself. You can be. I am not saying get divorced. I am saying, but if you are there, you can still be content with yourself and with your life. Amen? But don't push away a man or a woman because you think that is what is going to make, because sometimes it will make you more miserable. Have you ever heard people who are getting divorced saying, I don't care if they go. Until the moment they go, then you realize your demeanor has changed. All right. And so turn to the person sitting next to you. You will never be satisfied by going after things. Amen. The world in which we live says three things will make us happy: the people we know, positions we hold, and the possessions we have. The world says, the people we know, if I could just hang out with the right people, if only my wife is like the other person's wife, really, if I have the right job, if I became the supervisor, the positions we hold. And Solomon says, the people we know, the positions we hold, and the possessions we have, not so fast, because they tend to bring a level of happiness, but true satisfaction does not come through that. Amen. And we're going to study it. Let me summarize that lengthy reading into four things. Solomon says, we live in a world where people have power, but they are never satisfied. He observed that. Secondly, people have wealth, but they are never happy. Wealth without joy. There are people who have long life, but they are also not satisfied. Today, there are a lot of pills they are selling. Age gracefully. Get better. There are people living long, but they are sick. What good is it? And there are some living long, they are not sick, but they are never satisfied. And fourthly, he says, hard work without fulfillment. People are working very hard, but they are never fulfilled. You are always looking for more. If only I get a little more. If only. Please write this statement down. It is good to have an ambition, but when ambition becomes greed, you are out of order. Did you copy what I just said? It is good to have what? Ambition. Without ambition, you will not chase after anything. But when ambition turns to greed, you have lost it. Because God wants us to go after things, but understand that our joy is in him and not in things. Amen. So the suggestion that the people we know, the positions we hold, and the possessions we have will bring us contentment is a lie. Solomon says there are many people, and you will find out. He says there are people who get wealth. They make money. But God withholds the health from them. So they are not able to enjoy the money. They are always sick. Are you ready to delve into it? All right, so go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We will start from verse 8. Here we see that power people feel when they become good politicians and they hold a level of power in the country, things will be fine. I'll read from the New Century Version. He said, in some places, you will see poor people mistreated. Don't be surprised. In other words, that's what life looks like most of the time. Don't be surprised when they are not treated fairly or given their rights. One officer is cheated by a higher officer, who in turn is cheated by another higher officer. The wealth of the country is divided among them. Does this sound like Africa? And does it sound like here too? It says, even the king, make sure he gets his cut. I put it into modern terms. Even the king, make sure he gets his share of the profits. So he is saying that, listen, people are mistreated all throughout. And then you will notice that in an effort to be content in life or to have a level of satisfaction, you will notice that most of these people who are even in places of authority and places of power, like the other one on top of him is going to oppress you. So it keeps going on. And it says, but all of them are chasing after one thing, money, profits. And it says, even the president, the king, wants his share. Meaning that nobody gets satisfied. Everybody gets stolen from. So guess who they are stealing from? You. The ordinary person. Verse 10, read with me. Whoever loves money will never have enough money. Whoever loves wealth will not be satisfied with it. This also is like the chasing of the wind. Useless. Vanity. Absolute futility. So Solomon is saying, if you are trying to be happy, you are trying to be satisfied, you want to gain contentment by way of status in society, the position you hold, forget it. How many of you have prayed to be a supervisor at a place of work before? Anybody here? You prayed to be a supervisor, and then after you became the supervisor, you got what you wanted. Are you happy? Now you realize a new level of responsibility hits you that takes so many things away from you. Now, I am not saying that Solomon is saying the gospel truth. I am saying that Solomon has observed it, and we will look at this in the light of Scripture and correlate the entirety of Scripture to fully understand his observations. But it is true that sometimes you chase after something, and as soon as you get it, you realize you've lost it. That is the meaning of chasing after the wind. It means you went after the thing because you wanted to be happy. But now that you have it, you are not happy. How many single women want to be married? And as soon as they got married, they got more sadder. Because the man who came into their life is just getting on their last nerve. Solomon said something again. Let's look at verses 11. We are in chapter 5. He says, there is wealth, and many people have money, but they don't have joy. The more wealth people have, the more friends they have to help them spend it. Do you realize that sometimes you don't have friends until you make money? And as soon as you have money, people show up at your door. Everybody wants to be friends with you. How many of you have had friends because of your money? Some people are saying you don't have money. Pay attention, look into your life, because in life, there's always going to be somebody who has money more than another person. And you realize people get close to you because of what you have. So he asks, so what do people really gain? He says they gain nothing except to look at their riches. Those who work hard sleep in peace. It is not important if they eat little or much. But rich people worry about their wealth and cannot sleep. Is that true? How many of you worry about your money? Because sometimes your account is in negative, huh? You're not even worried. But if you have money, for real. But those who have it have security, right? Then they have all these complex codes on the safe in the house. Because that's where all the hidden things are. But if you don't have anything, I'm sure you don't even have a safe.
Verse 13, he says, I have seen real misery here on earth. Money saved is a curse to its owners. They lose it all in a bad deal and have nothing to give to their children. People come into this world with nothing, and when they die, they leave with nothing. Despite all their hard work, they live just as they came. This too is real misery. They live just as they came. So what do they gain from the chasing of the wind? All they get are full of sadness and sorrow, and they end up sick, defeated, and angry. I have seen what is best for people here on earth. They should eat and drink and enjoy their work, because the life God has given them on earth is short. God gives some people the ability to enjoy the wealth and property he gives them, as well as the ability to accept their state in life and enjoy them. So he's telling you that real contentment, right? Having things given by God and accepting them as, and those things don't define your joy, he says, that also is a gift from God. Look at verse 20. They do not worry about how short life is, because God keeps them busy with what they love to do. In other words, when you come to that place where you say, God, I am glad that you gave me this wonderful woman. The scripture says, once we focus on God and we say, Lord, we are thankful to you for where we are, then God himself gives you a level of joy that keeps you busy for worrying over things that really don't matter. Amen. So God gives some people money, and he allows them to enjoy it, because those people have decided not to look at money as their God, but God as their God. Look at chapter 6. We are continuing. But he said, I have seen something else wrong here on earth that causes serious problems for people. God gives great wealth, riches, honor to some people. They have everything they want, but God does not let them enjoy such things. A stranger enjoys them instead. This is useless and very wrong. Ain't that true? Now, so you notice that there's one group God gives to them, but because of their recognition of the fact that you are the giver of that gift, the Bible says God occupies them with the joy that they have in him. So the affliction and the troubles and the things around doesn't bother them. Lives become short for them because their joy was so much in God and were now in things. But then there's the flip side, another group of people who God has given them everything they want, but he withholds the ability for them to enjoy. How bad is it to buy a very expensive mattress? You know, the woodwork, the artwork in your bedroom is such that when you walk in, do you realize some bedrooms are very depressing when you walk in? And something when you walk in is like, wow. But it will amaze you that the depressing bedrooms, people walk in there and before they could say two words, they are gone. Then somebody has this well decored, the paint, the tint from the top to the bottom, following the artistic rule. Darker colors on the bottom all the way up, you get to the top. Clean, nice. Have this artwork here, that artwork there, this artwork there. And they walk in there. My bedroom is not like that. I just know. My wife will tell you. It is the place I walk in. I just sleep. I don't have time for all the other stuff. He says, I give you wealth, but I will withhold what it takes to enjoy. So Solomon is saying, quit going after the things, because until God is recognized or God is in the center of it, you might not even enjoy it. And notice what he says, you will leave it for somebody else. And he uses the word stranger. He says, a stranger will enjoy, not even your children, no, a stranger. I've seen people who, before when they passed, because they did not have any children, right? And the state had to take care of their stuff. So all the years they work hard, the money they got, I wish they adopted me before they died.
Because me, I will spend the money. There are souls to be saved. There's work to be done. When I say I spend the money, you think it's because I'm going to buy stuff. No. Somebody decided to give me something, another clothing. And I told my wife, I've become very worldly because my wardrobe now is full. The more you have, the difficult things get. And Solomon is saying, listen, life is not about all the things we are trying to get. And I'll come to something. Christians don't like enjoying life. No, we don't. We think when we pray alone is how we enjoy. I'll come to it. I'll show you. So Solomon says, listen to me, people. In this life, there are people who have power, but they are not satisfied. There are people who have wealth. He's not just talking about money, please, because wealth goes beyond money. Yes, there are people who have it, but they are never happy. You meet them, you are wondering, how in the world do I make basic minimum wage? And then they have these fixed figures, and they are always sad. What is the secret? It is the God who you always remember. But remember what Moses says. Remember the Lord your God, for it is what? He. Because once God knows that your heart remembers him, he in turn will give you the joy. Because things will not give you joy. Number three, Solomon says, some people have long life. They have large families, but they are never satisfied. Look at verse 3. We are in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. He says, a man may have 100 children and live a long time. But what good is it if he can't enjoy the good God gives him or have a proper burial? I say a baby born dead is better. So he's talking about a stillborn child, right? The one that never made it. The one that never had a name. I say a baby born dead is better off than he. A baby born dead is useless. It returns to the darkness without even a name. That baby never saw the sun and never knew anything, but he finds more rest than that man. The man who has 100 children. See, back in those days, when a person lived long, the conclusion is that this person is being blessed by God. In fact, if you continue reading, Solomon says, even if you live 2,000 years, Methuselah lived how many years? 907 days. So he's saying that even if we put this in a hypothetical case and you made it to 2,000 years, if God is not in the center of your life, forget it. Your long life don't mean a thing. Have you seen people who turn 101, 104, 106 and they were sick all through? Now let me die quick because I'm not going to do that. Why do I have to live and then all my loved ones are suffering from one hospital to another? Every day they are carrying me something. Nah. If I'm going to live, I got to live happy. But he says it doesn't come from things. It comes from your focus on Jehovah. Verse 6 says, even if he lives 2,000 years, he doesn't enjoy the good God gives him. Everyone is going to the same place. When he says the same place, he's talking about the fact that we all end up in the grave. The last thing Solomon talks about are people think that when they work hard, they will be happy. He says the same way long life comes most of the time without satisfaction if God is not in it. Hard work is without fulfillment if God is not in it. Look at verse 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 6. People work just to feed themselves. Is that true? People work just to feed themselves. But they never seem to get enough to eat. In this way, a wise person is no better off than a fool. Then too, it does a poor person little good to know how to get along in life. It is better to see what you have than to want more. He's talking about contentment. Wanting more, that it means being discontent, is useless. It's like the chasing of the wind. Let me tell you a story. Everybody listen up.
There was a businessman who saw a fisherman. He observed the fisherman for a very long time and realized that this fisherman would simply just go to the sea, catch a few fish, and then his day has ended. So the businessman asked him, how come that you only catch a few fish and you go home and then that's it? What do you use the rest of your day for? He says, oh, when I catch the fish, it is enough for my family. So I go home, we eat, and I spend the rest of my time with my children and then the rest of my time with my wife. Then in the night, I sleep and then repeat the thing the next day. The businessman looked at him and says, you could be more successful than this. You are actually wasting your time. And I can help you. You know, you need to spend more time catching more fish. And after you caught more fish, we will sell it and you'll make more money. And we'll try and expand your business by buying a bigger boat. So we can catch more fish and sell more fish and you make more what? Money. Very soon you will stop catching fish yourself and you can employ other people who will come and catch fish for you. So you become a manager. And you don't need to worry because your money will be working for you and you will be very successful. So the fisherman said, I see. So what is next after I become very successful? And the businessman says, then you move into the city. You get out of this waterfront area and you go into the city and you buy yourself a very big mansion and you live a very good life. And then the fisherman says, what's next? Then he says, you know, and after you age and you become very old, you go and buy a new house all the way up at the waterfront and then you live there and then you have fun. And the fisherman said, is that not what I'm already doing? Because I'm already living there. But you want me to go through all of this only to come back and live there again. Sometimes the things we are chasing after, it's like in cycles. We are just going around the same things and things. I've seen women who marry certain types of men and they divorce them. And then you come back to the... Because sometimes the problem ain't the man, it's you. How you are choosing the same kind of people. Let's flip the coin. The men as well. Solomon is saying, people, it is good to work hard. It is good to live long. It is okay to have a lot of children. It is good to have wealth. It is good to have position. But if God is not in the center of these things, forget it. You will never be satisfied. You will never be what? Satisfied. Say that with me. You will never be satisfied. So, how do I learn contentment, Solomon? How do I learn to be content? How do I learn it? Look at chapter 6 from verses 10 to 12 because Solomon offers an explanation there. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, look at verse 10. He says, whatever happens was planned long ago. Everyone knows what people are like. No one can argue with God, who is stronger than anyone. He's talking about God's sovereignty, that God is in charge of his universe. When somebody is messing around for a while and God hasn't said anything, it doesn't mean the person is in power. So he's telling you, begin to have an understanding or live life with the sovereignty of God in view. Look at verse 11. The more you say, the more useless it is. In other words, if you try to argue with God, you're wasting your time. People have only few... Man, this is hard words to use. People have only few useless days of life. But it is true. On the earth, their short life passes like a shadow. Who knows what is best for them while they live? Who can tell them what the future brings? And it is true that the word of God teaches us. Now let's correlate. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Because there we read about an apostle, the apostle Paul, who tells us that there is a need to be content. But there is a way to do it. Are you in the book of Philippians? Let's read Philippians chapter 4. Let's read from verses 11 to verse 13. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. So Solomon is saying to us that if you and I are going to have contentment, the first step is to see life from God's perspective. All right? Recognize, see it from God's point of view. Everybody say, see it? From God's point of view. All right. Are you in Philippians? So we're going to look at how am I going to try to see things from God's point of view, because it's not that easy to always see things from God's point of view. Are you in Philippians 4? He says, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned. Please underline the word learned. For I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. The New Century Version says, I am not telling you this because I need anything. For I have learned to be satisfied. I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances or what is it that I have, I am content with it. Did you copy that? It doesn't matter what I have. Now, let me teach really quick. Please write these down. Because he says, I have learned. Everybody say, I have learned. It means contentment is not automatic. It will not happen on its own. You don't just wake up and you are content. The natural us, human beings, is to go after things. Because bigger is... You just said it. Even though we may not believe it, but we say it. Right? We have learned. There are four ways actually to learn. And the last one is the most important. We learn by instruction. Write it down. Anytime you're going to learn anything, it is because somebody will teach you. We call that education. You learn by instruction. Everybody say, I learn by instruction. Secondly, we learn by example. We see someone do it, and then we try to mimic what they are doing. So I learn by instruction. I learn by, thirdly, I learn by repetition. The things we repeat over and over, learning will take place after a while. This is why those who do commercials repeat the same commercial over and over. We don't say it's boring because it's gradually educating us. So I learn by instruction, I learn by example, I learn by repetition, then I also learn by study. There are things you have to take time. Sit down and study. When you study certain things, you will know how to do them. We also learn by patterns. When you study patterns, you begin to see that something emerges out of it. Then you learn a lesson. And that is what Solomon is doing here. He's looked at life. He's seen patterns. And he's saying that based on the patterns, this is what is going to take place. In fact, one of the patterns Solomon learns is in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. He says, I have observed that there is something else under the sun. He says, the race is not for the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Now, if you are going to have a 100-meter race, the obvious thing is that it is the swiftest, the fastest person who is going to win, right? But then he says, no, there comes a time where the slowest person in the race wins it. Because something else is in the equation. Remember all throughout the book, he's trying to remind you if God is not in it. So I learn by instruction, I learn by... by example, and I learn by repetition. Then I learn by patterns, all right? Then I also learn by experience. There are things you have to experience them in order to be able to learn. Some people, when you talk to them, they ain't going to listen until they go through. So you heard the adage that says experience is there. Not true. Until you read Proverbs 27, the same Solomon said, some people, they are like, he says, they are like something you have put inside a mortar and you pound it and they will never learn from it.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301 866-896-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.